Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETBs for their education and training service, supporting essential communications and customer service skills for a more sustainable business.
Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. You're welcome to Business Matters. Later in the programme, I'll be talking to Managing Director of Atlantic Treasures and Killybegs, Michael O'Donnell. But first up is our backing business segment, and joining me on the line is Donegal County Council's Head of Economic Development, Anne-Marie Connell. Anne-Marie, we're going to talk about remote working and a business strategy for working in Donegal. There's been a major shift towards remote working since March of last year.
That's right, Kieran. That's right. Well, I suppose really what was a nice idea in January 2020, the thought of working from home became an everyday reality for most people across the country over the last, I suppose, really the last 15 months or so. And I suppose for places like Donegal, it's been very beneficial. We've seen people return to work in Donegal, return home, but we've also seen people choosing Donegal as their destination to work from over the last number of months. And it's something, I suppose, really it's highlighted for us that this is something that could be beneficial for the county, and it's something that we'd like to build upon. And in fact, last week, NUI in Galway and the Western Development Commission, they published their latest findings from their remote working survey, and have found that 95% of workers say that they still want to retain some form of remote working, even post-COVID. So look, that again, that presents opportunities for locations like Donegal, for more rural locations or more regions outside the larger city or urban areas. So it's something that we're keen to kind of capitalise on here in the county.
I had Boyd Robinson on last week, a local estate agent, Anne-Marie, and he was talking about the factors that were driving the property market at the moment. And one of the factors he alluded to was the big interest in Dublin clientele looking to get out of the city and maybe relocate to Donegal, and that's the thing that's ongoing at the moment. Have you any evidence of that?
Yeah, look, we're hearing that as well, Kieran. And whilst look, there will be challenges, but there's also opportunities. And I suppose one of the important things for us in Donegal is to attract more people to come and live here, and that'll help sustain the economy. It'll help sustain our communities, our rural areas, and our larger towns and villages right across the county. So it's something that we do want to see, and it's something that's kind of really important for us in terms of our own future in the coming years. And I suppose really when we were developing the remote working strategy for business, what we wanted to do was look at, well, what is it that Donegal has to offer? And the first thing that came out top of the list was quality of life. The fact that we have such spectacular outdoor experiences, from our beaches to our mountains to our countryside. And also what we have is we have very vibrant communities right across the county, and people like to be part of a community, and particularly they like to raise their children and bring up their families as part of communities and kind of close-knit places where there's good football teams, there's good sporting facilities, good arts and culture opportunities as well for all the family. So I suppose really it's also about, you know, places where there's nice restaurants, nice shops, nice cafes, that type of kind of experience that people are looking for. And of course, the cost of living here in Donegal is much lower than what it would be in a larger city such as Dublin or any of the cities across the island. So look, we have a lot to offer, and we also have great schools, and we also have kind of great, we have the likes of LYET and other learning opportunities through the likes of Donegal ETB, and they're really important as well for families looking to move to the county. And I think too, something that we probably take for granted here is that Donegal is a very safe place, and that's something too that many families living in urban areas and in cities look for. So look, we've got a great quality of life offering here in Donegal, and it's about trying to sell that and highlighting that as well to people who are interested in and who are thinking about moving to Donegal to get that, I suppose, really that better quality of work-life balance. Yeah. And along with that, we also have really good digital connectivity. We've good broadband in Donegal, particularly in our towns and villages. And for areas then where we don't, maybe where the broadband may not be as good in some of the rural areas, we do have a really good network of digital hubs right around the county. And that's one of the things in the strategies that we're looking to develop further is this kind of shared workspace, these opportunities in different towns and villages around the county. Because some people find working from home quite difficult. So it is nice to have that kind of social experience as well. So you can go into a hub and you can meet people that are maybe working in other companies. But it gives you that opportunity as well to have that kind of that social outlet as well for work, as well as good broadband connectivity as well that you may need. So we have really good affordable workspaces right around the county, and there's more coming on stream at the minute. So that again is something that's a really strong offering in Donegal here, you know.
You mentioned the digital hub. Is that a thing that you think will be more norm for future years, Anne-Marie, and places like Donegal?
I think it will be. I think at the minute we have about 11 or 12 right around the county. So probably the most popular one or the most famous one at the minute is the Moda Monaghmore Island, which was funded by Three, and it's part of a national initiative. So that's been hugely successful. But we have lots. We have the base in Belfast and Orler. We have the CoLab, of course, in Letterkenny that also offers these types of opportunities. We have the co-work space in Termon. We have space in Carndonagh. We have the new space coming on board in Buncrana. That is showing an innovation hub as well. So look, we're not short of digital hubs right across Donegal, and also we have the GTEC facility in West Donegal. So there are a lot of these facilities, and I think we will see more and more springing up right around the county in places like community centres and places that just have that space that is available. Also, businesses as well are actually looking at offering out office space on a more flexible basis as well. So again, they're akin to that kind of digital hub or that shared workspace. So it is certainly something I think that we'll see more of in the months and the years to come here in Donegal.
Yeah. Anne-Marie, I take it that the towns and villages that are aligned for investment will play the biggest part in the rolling out of the remote working strategy, aside from the digital hub that you've mentioned.
Absolutely, Kieran, and I think that's probably why we wanted to pull together this strategy, because we're looking at all the work that the council does and all the work that different agencies do right across the county, and it's about bringing it together so that we can create a really good super place to remote work from right across the county. So we have, as you probably are aware of, we have numerous regeneration projects happening right around the county at the minute, and it's really about making these, you know, our towns and villages really strong, vibrant places, attracting people to come and live and work from them. And the whole remote working element is really emerging very strongly as a key driver for these regeneration projects. And we have them. We have a number at the minute underway. One in Killybegs. We have Ironmore and Burtonport actually underway as well at the minute. And we have we've also secured funding for Belfast and Orler, for Carndonagh. And of course, there's also work underway in Letterkenny at the minute, and also in Ballyshannon.
Okay, Anne-Marie, and finally, do you think that the pandemic has really fast-tracked society to a place where remote working is becoming very much more the norm now?
Yeah, I think it has, Kieran. It was actually moving in that direction anyway, because I know a lot of like international leaders and companies right across the globe were looking at what they would call flexible working solutions, because really what they're interested in is they're interested in accessing talent. They're interested in getting really highly skilled people to come and work for them. And very often they may not be, they may not be located in a place that suits. So looking at flexible working solutions that suit workers and suit employees was a key part of their strategies moving forward. And also from an environmental and a climate change perspective as well. There's less commuter time. There's less, transport on the road and things like that, and less larger buildings for, using the energy supplies and that type of thing. So it certainly was something that was moving, and that kind of flexible working pattern, if you like. But look, COVID just accelerated no end. There's no doubt about it. And I suppose it's about us now looking at how best we can take the advantages that are presenting for places like Donegal, so that we can really be offering an outstanding offering to people who are looking to come live and work and rear the families here in Donegal, which I think really does have a great offering for people.
Anne-Marie Conlon, Head of Economic Development with Donegal County Council, thanks for taking the time to talk to us on Business Matters.
Thanks very much, Kieran. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
After the break, we'll be talking to Michael O'Donnell.
Are you confused about using social media for your business? Donegal ETB's Further Education and Training Service can provide you with introductory training. Contact Enterprise Engagement at donegaletb.ie or call 074 91 20500.
You're welcome back. Michael O'Donnell is Managing Director of Atlantic Treasures in Killybegs, which produces an award-winning range of smoked mackerel. Atlantic Treasures is part of the family-run Island Seafoods, which was set up by Michael's father, Mick, in 1986. Michael has been working in the family business since the age of 12 and took up a full-time role within the company back in 2000. Launched in 2010, Atlantic Treasures was recently named winner of the SFA National Small Business Awards for Sustainability. Michael says the award is just recognition for the efforts of all the team at Atlantic Treasures.
Yeah, we were delighted, very, you know, delighted with things. It was strange, actually, to have it on a kind of virtual basis, but it was something different to do, I suppose, too. But no, it was great to win the actual award. And for the people here, the staff here, they work very hard and they, you know, are always kind of feeding into our sustainability story and helping us, you know, try and see things differently, I suppose, from always being somebody up in the office, you know, and trying to get on the floor. But you need to listen to the staff on the floor as well. So I think it was good for them that they got, you know, got that recognition too. We have things like, we have green team meetings once a month where, you know, we have different people that come to us and things like that. So it works kind of, you know, very well that way. And everybody's happy. We have different initiatives we do. And, you know, we have our hydroelectric power plant. We have our wind turbine now that was commissioned in January. And then we're looking at things down in the future as well to do with PV paneling and solar and things like that. So hopefully, you know, there are more stories to tell coming down the line too.
That's a big transition, Michael. So, and I'm sure work like that isn't cheap.
No, definitely not cheap. No, it's worth it in the end. You know, I mean, there's certain things that would be a longer payback than others, and you just have to kind of see to the future, do you know what I mean? And not just be looking at the bottom line straight off the bat, you know, because there's an element too of, you know, reducing your carbon footprint and your greenhouse emissions. You know, there's elements of things you don't think of that are savings as well, do you know? So you have to take it all into account when you're kind of looking at it and kind of, and, you know, funding it, you know.
So how significant is it for a company like your own to sort of have a, as you said on your website, a squeaky clean carbon footprint?
Yeah, I think it's becoming more and more important. I suppose our sustainable story started 15, 20 years ago. Do you know, my father would, he started Island Seafoods, the business, back in 1986. So he always had his kind of eye on things that maybe would reduce, you know, your water usage or reduce, you know, waste and things like that. So that's probably small steps that started very early on. And then I suppose the hydro power plant was, I suppose we started building it in 2002 and it was commissioned 2004 maybe. And that would have been the first step, you know. And then I joined the business. Well, I was working in the business from when I was 12 years of age or something, but I joined the business after college in 2000. And then I suppose we launched the brand Atlantic Treasures in 2009. So we were working on some R&D work with St. Angela's Food College before that. And I suppose it's followed on. We like to talk about our carbon footprint now because we have a branded product, which is consumer facing. It's good that we can kind of talk about that. And we know that, you know, the customer wants to hear about those stories now. So I think all companies now are becoming more aware, you know, and they're becoming more, I suppose becoming more conscious of what they're doing, whether it's very little things like waste and recycling and stuff up to trying to reduce, you know, energy and usage like that. And, you know, there's savings for everybody there. So it's good across the board and people realize that now. They're far more aware of it. So it's good that way. You know?
You mentioned your third level education. Was that with a view to coming into the role that you're filling now, Michael?
Yeah, I actually, when I didn't actually finish college, I went back then years later. I was doing LAIT, doing accountancy, and a job came up in the office in the factory. So I wanted to kind of join off my own merit rather than finishing college and then making a job for me. So I skipped out and joined the factory back in 2000 then.
Right. And you mentioned going back. How was that?
Yeah, I always regretted actually not staying at college and doing it. And for years, I would have ended up years later giving a little bit of advice to companies and mentoring little bits and pieces here and there. And I always kind of felt like a fraud giving advice without kind of the backup. So I went back. I'd done a diploma in sales management from DIT. I think it's now UT or something, or UD. But and then I went back to LYIT and done a master's there about 3-4 years ago, a master's in marketing. So I kind of feel a wee bit more able to advise people now, you know.
And how was the experience going back, maybe, what, 15 or 16 years older?
Yeah, it was, do you know what, it was different. It was good, but do you know, you learn so much from younger people, and that is so true. I mean, I'm saying that I'm not old myself, but it's just they have a different way of viewing things. And I was maybe myself and another fella were the oldest, and then it was more people were out of their degree or whatever, and they were only in their early 20s, do you know? So you got a good view of other people's ideas, and they were very welcoming, and the lecturers over there, absolutely amazing, hands down, you know, James Cairns and Isabel, and there's a load of them over there that are quite, you know, they're quite good at what they do, and they're good at kind of bringing the best out in you as well. So, no, I was delighted with it, delighted to go back to it, you know what I mean? But hard graft too at the end of the day, like, geez, there was many a night you were kind of sitting up pulling your hair out going, what did I put myself through, you know, because you're doing it part-time obviously at night and stuff, and but it was enjoyable too at the, well, no, it was enjoyable after. I mean, looking back, it was tough, you know, but good.
Michael, as a family business, can you go back to the start and explain to me how and when your father set the business up?
So my father set the business up back in 1986, and he was purchasing fish from the boats in Killybegs here. And a mackerel, herring, horse mackerel, blue whiting, he bought anything and he was processing it, shipping it out then to places like Japan, China, mainland Europe, Russia, Africa, depending where the markets were, you know. So he always bulk produced, and then he would do a bit of secondary processing. So it would be hand cut mackerel fillets or salted herring or different bits and pieces like that as well. So that was always kind of what we'd done, and we would have sold a lot to agents, you know, out in those countries, if you know. So you're just dealing with the same people over and over again. And then I suppose back, I joined the business 2000 and Atlantic Treasures. Then we kind of, we could see from the way things were going, fish was harder and harder to get from the boats, and, you know, the quotas were getting kind of cut and everything. So we knew you had to kind of pivot to something else as well. And then we had staff that we were laying off, because the fishing season really only is kind of October to maybe February, March, and you might get April out of it sometimes. But
was that difficult?
Yeah, no, very much so, because, I mean, you're always trying to do more with less, if you know what I mean, and trying to kind of come up with new ideas or whatever. But I wanted to kind of, I always seen him doing stuff very entrepreneurial, I suppose, and I kind of, I suppose, learned from him. So that's kind of where the Atlantic Treasures thing, it was kind of a follow-on from what he was doing, was trying to build something for myself within Island Seafoods at the same time. So that's how Atlantic Treasures then came about. And we then worked with St. Angelo's Food College, and we came up with some smoked mackerel products, one with honey and mustard and one with ginger, chili and lime. What we wanted to do, kind of, we sat down and we said, you know, what is it we want from this brand? And we wanted the ethos to be to kind of pull, you know, bring it into the 21st century, add nice flavors, glazes, two fish that we've already processed here. And that was one of our main USPs as well, was that we had the product here. We were buying the product and we were selling out to Europe hand-cut fillets for smokeries out there. So we kind of knew what the customer was looking for. We knew what was a good mackerel product, a bad mackerel product. We knew what type of fat content was needed in the mackerel. We could tell the best of the best. So we were getting all this fish through the factory here on the Island Seafood side of the business, but we were hand selecting the best of what was coming through, and then we would further process that for the Atlantic Treasures brand. So we would always be able to kind of stand by the product, that it was the best that you could get on the market, because there was other, I suppose, we weren't dependent on outside supply. Other people may be, if you know what I mean. We weren't. We could see what we were processing here. So it kind of worked in our favor that way. We knew mackerel, if you know what I mean. So we were happy to kind of start further processing that.
And that's what you're specializing in at the moment?
Yeah, so that was about 2009 we launched that. We started with two products. We had the honey and mustard and the ginger chili. And then we found people coming back to us going, God, I love your mackerel. I'm not, you know, big on flavors. Do you do anything with a plain? A lot of people were just used to the plain and peppered. So then, because the brand was kind of doing something a little bit different, we didn't want to go into the market with just no smoked mackerel. So we kind of looked and done a lot of groundwork, and we found that maybe we'll smoke it with a maple wood chip in rather than oak. So our plain smoked mackerel is actually smoked with maple wood rather than plain oak wood, if you know. And then for the peppercorn, everybody uses cracked black peppers. We decided on a mixed peppercorn that would have green and white and pink peppers in it, if you know. So it was just doing a little twist on the original, if you know what I mean, just to fall in line with the brand and what the brand was supposed to be about, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Just listen, going back to the earlier days, Michael, there was a lot of product there and a lot of exporting there. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that's still the case.
Yeah, completely. And I mean, Killybegs, most factories are, I would say, 90-95% export, if you know. And so what we wanted to do was, you know, if we had X amount of mackerel, our goal, and still is our goal, is to add value to all the mackerel we could have. Now, at the moment, we're probably adding value to maybe 40% of the mackerel we put through. We still sell a good part of it out on the hoof, as you would call it, without doing anything to it. But that's what our goal is, and that's our 20-year goal or whatever year goal it is. It's just to be able to do more with less, so add value to everything that we had. And that's the main thing for us, is because it creates employment. It creates, you know, plenty of things going on in the economy, circular, you know, everything's paid back in. So if we can add more and more jobs to it, I mean, for us, that's the main goal, is to try and keep the jobs here and to add jobs to what we do, if you know.
How many members are in your work team at the minute?
At the minute now, this is, I suppose, the down season. So we'd have 25 full-time all the time, 52 weeks of the year. We'd have another maybe 15, 7, depending, you know, how busy you are with the fish. And that would be then from October, November till maybe March time, you know.
And the fact that you were able to change and change line and change direction, that ensured that people were employed all year round?
Oh, definitely. And that's what it was all about, was trying to keep those people that we had there and were laying off. We had to keep them, try and keep them in a job, if you know. So it worked out great for us. I mean, the mackerel products now, we have 5 in the range, and we're listed with all the retailers pretty much in Ireland. We do Dunstores, BWG, Musgraves. We do Tesco. Then we do some own label for Aldi and own label for Dunstores again. So we've kind of learned, we had to kind of, that's what we used to joke about at the time. We were selling fish to agents out in Germany or whatever, but now we were sitting down with supermarket multiples and sitting in with buyers and them tearing you to shreds and, you know, trying to put you down on price and everything else. And it was a whole, we said we may as well have been selling sweets before, because this was a whole new landscape for us, a whole new game that we had to start kind of learning how to, like, things like net pricing and crazy stuff that we didn't know anything about, and discounts, and, you know, all just many words came across us. And you literally went and you Googled some of them at times. You'd be sitting at a meeting, and that's just, you learned as you kind of from your, you just winged it and hoped for the best, because at the start it was very shaky, but no, we got there in the end and stuff, so it was handy, it was good. But a lot of good people help us, you know. Ellie, the local enterprise office, helped us, and Enterprise Ireland and Board Bia were a great help, you know. And they're all there to kind of, you know, come to you when you need, and they're very, very good, and everybody's very kind of open to kind of chatting to you about things. And even then, other businesses that, you know, you may never have, not in your, you know, you're chatting to them about, you know, what does this mean? How do you deal with this buyer? Or, you know, and they're very open to kind of talking to you. And most people in the food business are. It's a great kind of bunch of people that way. And you see it with things like Taste of Donegal or trade shows, maybe in Dublin or whatever. Everybody has a good camaraderie together, do you know? And even within the fishing sector, do you know, it's good like that. So it's handy. Yeah.
How satisfying is it having had a vision 15, 20 years ago that you're sitting down now with multiple chains, striking big deals and going into your local supermarket and seeing your product there on the shelves? I'm sure
that was the big thing. Yeah, it was the first time we went in and seen it in stores was very, very, you know, we started off quite, you know, naive and everything. And when we started off, the only way we could get into stores was the old Superquin at the time, years ago. We had to go down every Saturday, one Saturday at the end of the month, and sit there and do tastings and meet people and chat to them. But listen, you wouldn't change it, because it was the best experience, and you learn more about your product that way than you'll ever learn any other way. But that's how we started off, and me and my mother would come down together, or me and my father, the three of us would go down, and we would just kind of learn as we went, and it was good like that. And I suppose you kind of built it up from there and got more listings and stuff, but it was always kind of, you never kind of, you're on about bigger deals and stuff. You never actually look at it like that, because you're just kind of going on to the next thing and on, continually changing. And that's how the fish shop opened in Killybegs as well, was you're just opening up to new things and people. And as people become as they know you for new things, they kind of then approach you about other things, and those kind of open new deals. And as long as you're willing to be sit down and chat to people, then things will come out of that too, you know.
Talk to me about your fish shop in Killybegs and where it is located.
Yeah, the fish shop is up the main street. If you pass the tower in the Bayview Hotel, follow it on up, and you'll get to a junction up there, and you'll see a big mural. And the mural was done by a fellow called Kieran Dunleavy, and it's just, you'll see a blue building, and the fish shop's on the corner there. So it's just a small store. We do frozen fish, all fresh fish, and we do all chilled seafood as well. So we do all three. That's why we call it the Fish Stop, because it's a one-stop shop for everything you need.
Michael, I noticed you have a very big social media presence. Was that something that you worked on, or is that something that has always been there in relation to the company?
Yeah, no, it's something we definitely worked on. We're working with a girl called Grace Shields, and she's in Social Scene PR, and she's helping us kind of build a strategy around what people want and what they need and what we're giving them through socials, and that's recipes and things like that. So there's definitely a big presence, kind of it's thought about, it's not just done ad hoc. And then, as I said earlier about Ronan and the fish shop, Ronan's a great fella for kind of having a bit of banter online and stuff, so people kind of admire that, and they kind of follow us for those kind of things as well. Ronan would sing a song or do whatever he wants, so there's a bit of both. There's a thought put into it, but also then you have to do a little bit of kind of just as it takes you to. So,
yeah. How important is social media platforms in your industry at the moment?
I think social media is important in every industry. Do you know what I find now is, if you're not online, people don't know about you anymore. You know, and that goes down to not even socials, but just being on Google and being on, you know, the right platforms and everything. So I think for us, what works is very visual. You know, it's Instagram or Facebook. You know, Twitter's not really for us, but then Twitter might be for another company that, you know, would need, you know, to be speaking to chefs or things like that. For us, no, we found that we get the best exposure from Facebook and Instagram. But for everybody, I think to have a social platform is, you know, a lifeline for any company now. And I mean, companies are built with, you know, socials and nothing else, if you know what I mean. No bricks and mortar store, no nothing. You know, you find everybody's online. So, I mean, it's very important. And we started then, COVID obviously hit, and we started then to do online sales for our fish as well. So we're building all the time on that, if you know what I mean. And we have customers, you can go to thefishstop.ie. And you can buy your fresh fish online. It's delivered then the next day. We deliver 4 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays and Fridays. And it's just next day delivery or whatever. So we found that without social, you know, you're not getting the people, you're not driving the, you know, driving them to your site and everything else. So you need call to actions. You need a social. You need to know who your customer is, the demographic of your customer, who's using what, who's using Instagram, who's using Facebook, who's using Twitter, and then follow that crowd from there, you know, and give them what they want.
How impacting was the pandemic on your business, Michael?
Very much so. I suppose there's an upside and a downside to everything. For us here at Island Seafoods, there was obviously a downside where we had, you know, retailers we were sending stuff to, and we had also food service customers. And the food service customers in France, Germany, you know, Sweden, that died a death straight away. There was everywhere shut shop, all orders stopped, if you know what I mean.
So did that necessitate to go local?
Go completely, yeah. But, well, I suppose for Island Seafoods, it would be based mainly in Europe and things like that for those customers. So we found that kind of died a death. But then our retail side of the business, the Atlantic Treasure side, the sales of that shot up because everybody was buying and everything else. And for the first 3 weeks, we couldn't actually keep up with the orders because it was just constant, and people were buying long shelf life product and everything else. That kind of curved, you know, it took a kind of a flat level then. And I would say we kind of leveled out at probably 1.5 times what we were selling before. So on the Atlantic Treasures or the retail angle of the business, it was actually a plus for us. But then on the food service side, it died a death, you know. So there was kind of good and bad with both, you know.
But you're in a position to respond and react, which was
very much. And you had to react straight away. I mean, it was crazy what was going on at the time, and you just had to get on the phone to your retailers, buyers and everybody else, and just kind of gauge what was going on store, on the floor, and then work with that, if you know what I mean. So, but they were going through it with everybody, do you know what I mean? They were going through it with everything. So it was just a matter of trying to get your process in place, and they were looking for your COVID plan and everything, even though you barely knew what COVID was. And you were trying to, like, you know, build on that, you know, and trying to get them to work with you as well. And then each retailer wanted a different plan, or one specific for them. So there was a lot going on at a very short time, but you know, you learned a lot from it, and you learned how to react very, very quick, if you know what I mean. So if nothing else, it taught people a lot of stuff. Now, that was the Island Seafoods and the Atlantic Treasures. On the fish stop, or Atlantic Treasures fish stop, it actually helped the business a little bit. I think people were coming out, you know, once a week to do their shopping and everything, and they were making it last, if you know what I mean. They might have went to the fish shop before, but they thought, well, no, I'll go in here now and it'll be a person to see or whatever. So we found that it built it a wee bit, if you know what I mean. And then obviously when we pivoted and changed online, that kind of increased as well. So it kind of, if nothing else, it increased our social following and increased the awareness of the store for us. So again, there was bad sides to it, but I suppose I'm trying to be positive about the whole thing.
Michael, I noted that your work mantra is very much do more with less, and you mentioned it earlier in the interview. Could you elaborate a wee bit on that?
So all the time, I suppose, if you go to anybody in the fishing industry, it's very always hard to get seafood, if you know what I mean. It's get to buy the fish on the boats or the prices or whatever it is. So we found that with here in the factory, you were getting less and less fish, so you had to do more with less. So you were adding a higher margin, you were trying to kind of do something with what you had. And it worked, as I said earlier, to do with the smoked mackerel. Then we moved into marinated herring as well, and we do like marinated herring now with four different flavours. We do balsamic vinegar, a mustard, a dill and onion, and a star anise and lemon. And that was again falling into the, you know, we're doing more with less. Do you know what I mean? We were processing this herring coming through the factory for Island Seafoods. We knew herring for the past 30 years. So we said, well, why not do this with less? Now, we came up, a lady in Finland came up with the recipes that lived here in Ireland. It was in the market before, Silver Darlings, and we used to process that for her. So then she was selling up, and we says, no, well, that fits into our ethos of the business. Why not add those products to the market? So we've done that as well. We kind of, and we have a couple of things coming up now with salmon as well that should kind of make some waves as well, you know, pardon the pun.
Kelly Beggs is obviously planning for the future, Michael. There seems to be a great sense of optimism and hope.
Yeah.
There's a recent announcement of $8.7 million for the allocation for the Kelly Beggs Fishery Harbour from the Department's Capital Investment Package programme. A big boost to business like yourself and a vote of confidence in the area.
Yeah, completely. And I mean, you can see it in the past couple of years. Kelly Beggs has changed the way, I don't know, the way I suppose you're doing business, for want of a better word, but people are coming here, they're staying here, there's things for them to do, and I'll go into it in a minute, but that's how the Hook and Cooked Seafood experience came up for us. But Kelly Beggs, I suppose with being on the Gateway to Sleeve League, people wanted somewhere to stop before, and it just happened to be a nice seaside town. So we were getting more and more customers, and businesses started to kind of open up, and everybody was very welcoming, which they are anyway in Donegal. I think people are very welcoming to tourism and things like that. So I suppose it worked in our favour that way in Kelly Beggs. And then it shows kind of the department and everybody has, you know, confidence as well in this when they, you know, commit to that money. And I suppose the Donegal County Council, and they're coming up with some amazing ideas. And I suppose the town regeneration in the middle of it, you know, with the Island House, the changes there, and the town centre. So there's lots going on in Kelly Beggs, and there's lots of businesses opening. Even this year, there's 3 or 4 new businesses opening there already, and it's not even the summer months yet. So it's good to see, and I think hopefully what we want to do, and I'm actually a member of the Kelly Beggs Regeneration Group, and what we're trying to do in Kelly Beggs is keep people there, if you know what I mean, and have things for them to do that, you know, will make them stay, or make that Kelly Beggs be their point of, you know, entry, and then they'll go to Sleeve, they come back to Kelly Beggs and have things to do, you know.
Michael, what's the biggest lesson you've learned in business over the last 30 plus years?
Well, we'll say 20 plus years, but things in business, I don't know. I suppose the big thing for anybody getting into business, for me, would be networking. I think that alone, any problem you have, somebody's had it before. And if you can speak to people then and network with people and find out, you know, how people got over things and got over that thing, to me was a big, and somebody, If you're trying to get in through a door, somebody knows the person that's behind that door and they'll give the introduction to you. So I think networking, if you're good at it, it's good for business. Do you know what I mean? And
are
obviously,
you good at it?
I wouldn't say that, but
you're not bad at it.
Yeah, you have to be. I'm telling you. Sometimes you get thrown in the middle of it, and you have to. But I think that's part of the fun of business, and that's why you kind of come up with new ideas and new things all the time. People, you're speaking to people all the time. I mean, that's how the Hook and Cook thing came up in Killybegs, and the fish shop was talking to one of the pub owners, Hugh O'Donnell, in there, and he came up with this idea of, why don't we do something with people coming in, buying the fish, so they can speak to Ronan and get the fresh fish off him, and then they'll go from there and they'll come down to me. I'll do up the plate, I'll cook that fresh Killybegs fish for them, and he'll put out a little side order on it or whatever they want, and then they can sit in Killybegs for an hour and a half and just enjoy a little bit of fish. And it was something so simple, two businesses coming together and just doing something together. And there's a lot of that, like, you know, coming together now more so than ever. You see a lot of businesses joining that way and coming up with ideas, and that's what it's about. Do you know what I mean? And that's what business is all about, is trying to help the other person too. You know, it's not just all about you all the time.
Michael, what piece of advice would you give your 21-year-old self?
No, that's a good one. Stay in college. So you wouldn't have to go back and do night school. No, I think there's the path's for you. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean I need advice, but I think, I suppose, it would be not to concentrate, not to overthink things. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes things are supposed to happen and let them happen, and sometimes mistakes are good. You know, if you don't make mistakes, I've made hundreds of them, and you know, you learn from every single one of them, and somebody will help you out. And when you make a mistake, sometimes people that pull you out of it, you see them in a different light, and I think that's nice too. So it's just not be afraid to make mistakes, I suppose, would be the advice, because that's, you know, what happened anyway. I think I made plenty, and that's probably why I'm here, what goes on as well, because you have to make them, and probably business opportunities wouldn't have come up only for them, you know. So that's probably.
Do you enjoy leading from the front?
I try, sometimes not. I'm good when I need to be, and then I'll take a step back and let other people, because I think one of the main things in business is surround yourself with good people. If you can't do that, or if you think you can take things on yourself, and you know, that's to do with even the likes of, we have a great quality manager here, Teresa, and she does everything that's, you know, and I wouldn't even try and take over, you know, things from her, because she knows that ins and outs. And the same of doing social and getting Grace to help us there. You don't take on something you're not, you know, I'd get advice from people and then do it, yeah, fair enough, but don't ever think you're, you know, you know everything, because it's completely not how it works.
And the Small Firms Association Awards that you secured recently, that was obviously a reflection of the huge effort and the teamwork that goes on here, Michael.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it always is. And if you work with a team of people, listen to them. I think that's the main key. Listen to people, because if you don't listen to your team or listen to people on the floor or who the people that know your business, they know it sometimes better than you at times. So you have to kind of keep with that ethos of being able to sit down with people and have a chat or a laugh and have a row if it needs to be had. Do you know what I mean? Because that's how you solve problems, and that's how you get to where you are. So,
finally, Michael, just looking ahead to the future, what lies ahead for yourself and your business?
I suppose on the main side of the business, I'd say doing more with less. So that is about expanding the Atlantic Treasures range and expanding the markets. And that's kind of what we're looking at 2022, is taking somebody and maybe getting them to focus more on the sales of exporting. And we'll be looking into exporting to, I suppose, mainland Europe. We already do export the brand to Singapore and Dubai and Qatar, but I'd be looking at mainland Europe, France, the Nordics, maybe Germany, and seeing what can be done there and with the range we already have, and then what we'll be adding to it in the future. Because I suppose new product development, we're always trying to do something with MPD and come up with new ideas and do it. We have a good partnership coming up at the minute with another very big Donegal brand that it'll be exciting when it comes out, but I'll say no more about it now. But so as long as you're keeping moving all the time, you know, and trying your best, you know, if you try your best, listen, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, go on to the other things, you know.
Michael O'Donnell, Managing Director of Atlantic Treasures, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
No bother. Thank you very much.
Well, that's it for this edition of Business Matters. Thanks to my guests, Anne-Marie Conlon and Michael O'Donnell. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound, and thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETBs for their education and training service, supporting essential communications and customer service skills for a more sustainable business.